Philippians chapter 4, and I'd really like you to see these scriptures in your hands, in your own Bible. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to complete a series that we've been in called Philippian Faith. Philippian Faith. And this is part 12, Philippian Faith Living. Philippian Faith Living. The Apostle Paul could certainly have said, as you're turning to Philippians chapter 4, he certainly could have said along with this song, things have not turned out the way I planned. Can anybody in this room say, life has not exactly turned out how I planned? If you still think you're in the driver's seat, you got another thing coming. You haven't lived long enough of life yet. When grief has left you low, the verse says, it causes tears to flow. Things have not turned out the way you had planned, but God won't forget you. His promises are true. Tears are a language God understands. 10 years earlier, the Apostle Paul established a church in a Roman colony outpost named Philippi. He called and used the illustration, the military illustration, if you will, of them being a colony of heaven for the Christians, for the saints. Because that's what we are in this earth. Strangers and pilgrims in this earth, passing through, we are citizens of heaven. Can someone say amen? That's why the Bible says, love not the world or the things of the world. And if you get ensnared in the love for the world, it ensnares your life. Your life won't be satisfactory to yourself. You're not going to achieve God's goal for your life. And there'll be an empty place left inside because God's got a plan for you and for me to fulfill His plan. And we are part of the citizenry of, say it with me, heaven. Citizens of heaven. And so the Apostle Paul tells us, that he ends up in a Roman prison. And remember, there are certain scriptures in the New Testament where he was abandoned by a lot of people. Remember that? A lot of people abandoned Paul. Read 1 and 2 Thessalonians. In fact, 2 Thessalonians is probably the last word recorded from Paul. And he says, have Timothy bring the parchments and my cloak, etc. And he says, bring John Mark, who's profitable for me in the ministry. And that's the end of this ministry. But now, it's been 10 years since he established this church. He's sitting in a Roman prison, awaiting whatever his fate might be. And the Philippians love this guy so much as their spiritual dad, they send their pastor, his name is Epaphroditus, to Rome with gifts and an offering to be able to help Paul, because Paul had to pay for his own jail. Paul had to pay for the jailers to watch over him. And these people stood with him. So God sent him comforters and helpers in a time where it may have seemed to others like God had abandoned him altogether. How many are grateful for the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Now look around you and how many are grateful for comforts and friends who stand with you in the faith. All right? So we are going to trust God to continue to minister to Dottie, continue to minister to each of us. God is good and in charge. Someone say amen with me. So we've journeyed with Paul as he carried the gospel to Europe and he led Lydia to Jesus. We've seen a church birthed in a Roman colony named Philippi. We know that Paul doesn't play favorites, but this book of Philippians is a book of love and a thank you letter to his sons and daughters in the faith. Paul has taught us about having the mind of Christ. He's taught us about having the humility of Christ. We saw a tiny little correction last week. Remember? Remember what the little correction was in the whole book of Philippians? I don't remember what it was. You two ladies, Syntyche, and another gal, you better get along. And he tells them the letter to the whole church. I'd like to have that read in front of you. Now, Elaine, I want you and Jeannie to get along. Okay. But the whole point was these two women had labored side by side in faith with Paul as they birthed the gospel in this place. And he says, listen, you need to get along. Have the humility and the mind of Christ and serve one another. We are family serving God together. And this is a letter to his sons and daughters. Remember, we learned about being sinceris. Remember that? And it really means without wax. And in chapter 1, Paul says, I want you to be sincere Christians, without hypocrisy. And the Latin and the Greek meant sincerus without wax. And you remember the illustration. I'm going to repeat it one more time, and then we're going to go on to this morning's lesson. They had overtaken this land that had been established by the Greeks. The Greeks were into statuary and great portraits and things like that. And at the beginning, these soldiers, the Romans, didn't care a bit for it. But as they became established in culture, established in their history, they began to value those artworks. And so what they would do is they would pick up, and they were all over the place, these broken busts and these broken works of statuary. And artists would begin to rebuild them and reshape them. And if it was an artist who had no integrity, he would take a bunch of wax and fill in the broken spots with wax. So these people would come in as Romans, and they'd pay top dollar for their statuary. They'd set it up in their garden, have a special spot. They thought they were going to be the ones who were really praised for having the class and the aristocracy. They are the ones who have the statuary. First hot day comes along. Guess what happens? The wax starts to run. And so what happened is artists who were true began to fashion their works, and they would put a plate on their works, and the plate would say, sincerus, without wax. It's the real deal. And Paul used that same illustration to say, as Christians, I want you to be the real deal, sincerus, without wax. It didn't mean our ears, he meant our life. Look at each other and say, now come on, y'all need to be without wax. Let's complete our study in the book of Philippians. Chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Please see it in your own scripture first. I do have the verses up here, but if you'll cover that, Pat, let's cover it, because I want you to read it first with me out of your own texts. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. I'm reading from the New King James. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, say it with me, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these what? Do. And the God of peace will be with you. All right, you could put it up on the screen because I want to rehearse with it. What's true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report? If there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate. Give yourself to thinking on these things. The Greek word for meditate is similar to a word like the cow chewing its cud. How many stomachs does a cow have? You know, 3, 4, 19. Anyway, several stomachs. And they choose the cut and over and over and over again. And the thought of Scripture is meditate. Give yourself to consideration. What does this mean as you ruminate on it and consider it? Lord, what does this mean to my life? Apply this to my life. I want you to really give yourself to this kind of stuff. Listen to what Paul says should fill our mind. Now, this is going to be based on the King James words, Pat, if you'll go up. King James words, they say, what's true? What does that mean? Nothing concealed. No hidden thing here. What's right out there in the open? Honest before God. Number two, honest, which meant honorable. You know the difference between living honorably and not, don't you? Don't look so sanctimonious at me. Some of you know full well, just like with me. I know what it's like to live honorably and not honorably. Okay, how about being just, innocent, holy? I want you to think on, meditate on, give yourself to rumination on the holy and innocent, pure stuff. All right, next word is pure, clean, innocent, modest. Perfect. Say the word modest in this culture today and nobody knows what you're talking about. Lovely, friendly, acceptable. Something lovely. And man, you look around you in the church this morning. We have lovely people all around us, don't we? They're friendly. They're acceptable. They're loving. Of good report. That means I want you to think on something that is well spoken of and reputable. It's got a good reputation. I want you to think on those things that are of virtue, manliness, excellence. I want you to be an excellent Christian, an excellent follower of Jesus, Paul is saying to his sons and daughters in the faith. Anything worthy of praise, laudation, commendable. That's the kind of stuff I want you to be thinking about. Now, can I ask you an honest question? Do you think if you thought of those kinds of things all day long, you'd be a little happier in your life? Ouch. Anybody say ouch along with me? You know, I don't care what station you look for your news. You're not going to find much of that on there, are you? If you have that on all day long. Or your television. How about television? Television, the land of the pure and the home of the brave. Not exactly, right? Not exactly. You know, they what's the old phrase? Junk in? Junk out? Righteous in? Righteous out? Yeah, the old phrase actually was garbage in, garbage out. Church, what do we give ourselves to thinking about, meditating? Now watch, this is important. The Greek word for think on these things is actually the Greek word logizomai. From logizomai. Can you say it with me? Logizomai. Come on, say it one more time. Logizomai. Now turn to each other, say, see, I'm a Greek scholar. Logizomai. And it's an inventory. It's a bookkeeping term. Anybody in this room? Let's see the show of hands. How many of you do bookkeeping or ever did bookkeeping in your life? Okay. A few of the rest of you, what are you doing? Okay. All right. Bookkeeping. Taking an inventory to estimate. To impute. The word is to reckon. Now, church, those of you who have taken Building Your Faith, and if you haven't taken our series called Building Your Faith, I urge and encourage you to see Pastor Sherry afterwards and get started in Building Your Faith. It's a 17-lesson series, but as it's an establishing series, if you've got the foundations, it revisits them again. If you don't know the foundations of the faith, it's a series you can take to listen to the Scripture and see the Scripture and do some homework to it, but you don't pass or fail around here. It's just you learn and grow like all the rest of us. But one of the most important lessons in that entire series comes from Romans chapter 6, and it is called reckon. To reckon on your faith. Bookkeeping. What do you have in your spiritual inventory? Faith, just a little more faith. Oh, I just need more faith. Wait a minute. What's in your spiritual inventory? What do you have on that pantry shelf? Just sitting there waiting for you to get it. I just need a little more joy. Wait a minute. What did Jesus do for you at the cross and in His resurrection? What did He put inside of you, Jeannie girl?
Joy.
And lots of it. And Bill.
Yes.
And lots of it. Okay. So what does He put inside? Faith, joy, peace. Oh, I just need more peace. Wait a minute. Jesus died to give you that peace. So we need to reckon. We need to understand, wait a minute, this is in my spiritual inventory, and I need to think like Jesus thinks. I need to understand what He is saying. I need to put my mind on the right things. Listen, church, as in the first century church, so today, the battleground is in the mind. The battleground is for the mind of the people of our generation. Listen to the music, watch the movies, watch everything. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with those who do, yoo-hoo. You know, listen, we've got to be real Christians in life. And we sometimes have contact and we have friends who don't know the Lord. Are you gonna be able to help them out by saying, don't smoke, don't chew, ooh? You know, maybe you can think that, just don't say that to them, okay? Say, you know, what you should say instead is say, you filthy, rotten sinner, come to Jesus today. Okay, no, don't do that.
No.
Don't do that. But reach out in the love and the grace of God and show them. What do? You show them how Jesus has changed your life. Come on. Anybody in this room had your life changed by Jesus? I don't do those things anymore because He changed me. So, but still, you reach out with His love and with His grace and His mercy and you help people discover Him. But the battleground is for the mind. George Carlin. How many remember George Carlin? George Carlin could be absolutely hilarious. Now, some of you are not looking around because you don't want to admit it. George Carlin could be absolutely hilarious. He was also one of the most coarse, filthy-mouthed people ever to take the entertainment stage. And back in the 70s, he had an album that was a very popular selling album, and it was about the seven words the FCC would not allow you to say. And his whole comedy routine was about saying them. And everybody lauded it as a great avant-garde kind of album and very popular. But listen, church, take a look at what's happening in our culture. Why do you think that everybody keeps pushing the envelope? We don't need the FCC. We don't need these movie readings. We don't want that kind of stuff in our life. Let me ask you a question. The direction they're going, if it's so right, why do you think they keep pushing the boundaries to get it more and more accepted? If it's right, won't it already be accepted? If it's so good, does it bring you closer to the Lord and make you feel stronger in your life? Is it something that makes you feel holier and stronger and closer to God? Okay. Now, I'm not saying that every comedy you watch or everything has to be a Christian perspective, but it should be Christian principle if you're going to let it into your life. Right?
That's right.
Come on, church. Somebody say amen with me. It's lonely out here. But the constant push in our culture is for that which is more and more wicked instead of that which is for more and more righteous. What does Paul say? Watch what Paul says. He says, I want that what you have learned... Oh, I'm sorry. I guess it's not up there. Pull it down a little bit, sweetie. That's okay. We're not on point two yet. It's okay, Pat. Pull her down. Pull her down. Reckon. I don't have these notes up there. My fault. Thank you. What does Paul say? Paul says, what you have learned. Remember, what is it? Right in front of you in that scripture. Received, heard, and saw in him. Do. Paul is saying, the best way to understand how to walk with God is to watch a living example. Sincerus. Without wax. The real deal. Church, can you say to someone, a friend, a family member, you want to know how to walk with God? Watch me and follow me and do what I do.
Not completely.
It got quiet in here. Yikes! But that's our responsibility, isn't it? And that's what Paul is saying. When he says, what you've seen in me, do, that word in the Greek literally means practice and do. Practice and do. How many taught your kids how to ride a bike when they were little? They ever fall? Skin their knees? And so you looked at them as parents, say, okay, go take a chair. Don't ever try this again as long as you live. No. You know, your kid starts to learn how to walk. Right? You do, oh, yikes, and he's over. But you keep steadying him and working with him. You keep practicing and practicing. And Paul is saying, this kind of stuff, you keep practicing and doing and practicing and doing, and you'll get better at it as you do it. Last year, there was a book called The Outliers. And The Outliers is a book that is all about what we oftentimes call luck with people who become successful in business, entertainment, or sports, or whatever field it might be. What we oftentimes call luck actually is birthed out of a principle that seems to hold true. If you will put 10,000 hours of practice into any field, you can master it and be a success. 10,000 hours. And it was a study of person after person. Bill Gates. And the person, Steve, who was with him, or Paul Allen. And then he took Steve Jobs. And what happened with Bill Gates when he was a kid, he was a punk kid in junior high. And just when computers were starting to come in, he knew the person who oversaw the University of Washington computer laboratories and all sorts of, and they let him in on the weekends. And he and Paul Allen, they would go in, and hour by hour by hour by hour, and amazingly, by the time they hit their stride and boomed into success, they had put in about 10,000 hours. Golf shots, basketball, music, whatever it would be, the great successes, when they saw that when they hit their strides, they had put in about 10,000 hours. Paul is saying, it's just an illustration, practice this Christian walk. Do it and practice it. And okay, maybe you fall. Maybe you make a mistake. Maybe you sin and you need to repent. But get up and go again. And Paul is cheering for his sons and daughters. What you've seen in me, practice and do. And we'll be the real thing. How many want to be the real thing?
Amen.
The first instruction as we come to a close on this whole book is think on the right kind of things. Secondly, you can do all things through who?
Christ.
Come on, say that with me. You can do all things through Christ, verses 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. See it in your own scriptures. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Meaning, Paul's in a jail in Rome, and you didn't have opportunity to share with me and stand with me every time you turned around. And I'm not complaining, he says, verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, please say it with me, to be, I'm sorry, please, one more time, to be content. Look around you today. How many content people do you know? Contentious, not content. Right on. There you go. Verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do, please say it with me, all things through Christ who strengthens me. Pastor Epaphroditus comes with the gift from Philippi to bless and provide for Paul's needs in a Roman prison. Again, he had to rent his house, he had to rent the jailers who were with him, and Paul's entire letter of Philippians is saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Something so easy to say, and something so beautiful to see. But at the same time, Paul says, Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not pushing you for more. I have learned that God is my provision. Jesus is my provider. And because of that, I can do anything He asks of me to do. Listen, church, how many watch the stock market rise and fall?
Yeah.
It's about an hourly by hourly kind of thing, isn't it? How many watch a lot of the news? Come on. My hand's up. Okay. You know, we're watching these things. And how many concerned over the crashing that's taking place in Europe? And it's going to impact us here. And how many are concerned about paying your own bills? Come on, anybody besides me paying your own bills? But if the news is all we listen to, then we won't be able to say with Paul quickly, I know that God is my provider. Because the news and the negative all the time shakes our faith instead of reckons on what God has put inside of us. How many like chicken? Anything, you know, whatever you taste, tastes like chicken. But how many would rather be an eagle? Chickens, if they're out in the barnyard, let me tell you what chickens do. Their head's down, they're walking around, and what are they doing? What are they doing? Come on, say it out. Come on, say it out. What it? Yeah, somebody else had the word. What are they doing? Pecking the ground. Pecking the ground. Downward looking vision. Always looking for the next little morsel. Complain, 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 because no forward looking vision. I just don't want to be eaten. And most of them end up that way, right? Poor chicken, sorry. Peck, 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 peck. Church, I know what that feels like. I know what that's like. Problem, 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 problem. Another problem, problem. Another problem. Okay, a problem on this leg. And I wonder why I can't get a breakthrough. Because I'm looking down at the problem. And all I'm finding are wormy little grubby things. It's not too satisfying. But an eagle, when the blast of wind comes, has an opportunity to soar and find his way above the little problem. The little foxes spoil the vines, the Bible says, and it's focusing on the little problems, peck, 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 that destroys faith and can hinder and steal your joy. Someone besides me say amen. That's true.
Amen.
Would you rather be a chicken or an eagle? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now watch, I'm just going to give you a couple of these Greek words. The changing circumstances did not affect the inner contentment Paul enjoyed. The word content here that we just read means literally, in the Greek, self-sufficient. And the Stoics, remember, Paul was in a day when the Greeks, the Stoics, the Epicureans, all these philosophical perspectives were all around him. The Stoics used this word content, which, by the way, this is the only usage of this word Paul uses in the whole New Testament. This is the only time it's used. They use it to mean human self-reliance and fortitude. I can do it. You know, Ken and I have talked several times about, I got this one, Lord. No problem, I got it. Right, Ken? We've been there, done that. I got this one. And God says, oh, yeah? As the car goes off the edge, right? But Paul uses this word in a complete different fashion than the Stoics of his day. He uses it to refer to a divinely given sufficiency. The other phrase that Paul uses here, that's only used here in the New Testament, is where he says the phrase, I have learned. And it's actually in the Greek, I have learned the secret. And that's a phrase that mystery cults used in Paul's day, meaning a mystery initiation. And Paul's meaning is completely different. Paul is saying, I have learned like an initiation into walking with God by the experiences I've had with Him, how to remain content in Jesus, because if I'm well fed or not, if I have a good experience or bad, Jesus is still holding me, and I reckon on that truth, and so therewith I can be content. Yeah. I'm really trying, I know it's a bit laborious, but this is an important point to hold on to. Church, you and I go through experiences that the Lord allows us to go through every day. And sometimes those are testing experiences. Just ask Robbie. Right? Hit by a car at 55 miles an hour. It's a miracle that Robbie's here with us this morning. Robbie, we're glad you're here. Thank you, Jesus. Not supposed to be here. God has something for you, my friend. So what do we have? We have a God who allows us to go through all sorts of experiences, and when you walk with God through those experiences, you learn that He can sustain you. How many have ever gone through something more than you ever thought you could go through, and you live to tell? And you live to tell. Spouses pass away, something happens, fortunes are won, gained and lost, and circumstances change, and you go, 5 years from now, you look back and go, whew! Sure glad I'm done with that one. But God gives you a test, allows a test to prove that you can pass it. But once you've passed it, and He shows you that He's strengthened inside of you, He gives you another test to show you can pass that one. And that's how you get stronger. Anybody have any muscles? Along with me, I had some in 75, I remember. 1975. All right, so your muscles get stronger when they're what?
Exercise.
When they're worked. It's never comfortable. Never comfortable, but it builds your strength. The same thing happens in your walk with God. Now, a lot of motivational speakers can say the phrase and do, I can do all things. You can do all things! And you can. You can do far more than you think you can. And you can. Paul learned he could after being shipwrecked and stoned and beaten and imprisoned, and at midnight sings praises along with Silas. Because there's another phrase to that. I can do all things, please finish it with me, through Christ who strengthens me. Number three, God shall supply all your need. Oh, okay, let's go back up. I forgot to say that. Learn the secret. What does it mean to be abased, depressed, and humiliated? Abound, superabound, be in excess? Excel. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Number three, God shall supply all your need. I'm going to read verses 14 through 19. You have it in front of you in your verses. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek that gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. And here's especially as we go on. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Now, verse 19, please read with me. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The whole context of that verse that is so used as a motivational verse, and it's a great one, is an element of giving. As you faithfully give to Jesus, as you give to his church, as you stand with God's people, as you stand with the apostle in the ministry, God will also give to you. At the end of the day, you can go home knowing that you can be joyful in the Lord as you've given, served, and stood with Him and with His church and with the purposes of God. God will put provision into your hands as well. Amen. These people stood with Paul. They were with Paul. They were partners to Paul. They were his family. They associated with him. They stood with his vision. They stood with his burden. They stood with his mission and stood with his life. And the whole element of Greek meaning here is they were all in with Paul. Church, are you all in? Come on, church. Are you all in? Let me ask it again because it's important. Are you all in? Yeah. Are you all in with Jesus? Are you all in with the family of God? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Have you jumped into the river of God and said, He's my everything? Yeah. See, in America, we add Jesus to a little bit of our lives. And we think that's nice. And it is nice. How many know it's a lot better to go to church than not go to church? Yeah. It is. But Jesus says, give me your life and I'll make something precious and special from it. And I want you to live with me. Be sincerest. No wax. I want you to walk with me. I want you to be all in. Because if you want to quote the motivational verse, it's all about being all in. I know then, my God shall supply all my needs. We're family. We're a family in Jesus. Are you all in with the vision? Are you all in right along with me here and you want to reach the Olympic Peninsula for Jesus Christ? You want to reach Washington State, see our nation come to you? Do you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? And all these things then, the Bible says, will be added to you. In their day, when they gave their life to Jesus, it literally meant everything. Their destiny, their faith, their families, their fortunes, everything. Are you all in? Because when you're all in, that verse there where they brought this offering to Paul and it's like an aroma, it's referring to the Old Testament priests who brought incense to God and did the burnt offerings, and that sacrifice went up to God with such an aroma that pleased Him. What's Jesus asking from you today? Are you all in? If not, Jesus is saying, this is the day, jump in. Give your life personally to Jesus if you have not done it, because He loves you and He's got a plan for you. What does it take? Understanding that I'm a sinner, lost without Him, that I need Him, the Savior, and His name is Jesus. It takes my surrender, my being willing to say, Lord, take over. I ain't doing so hot, though I think I might be hot stuff. I ain't doing so hot at my own life. Take over. And He knows how to do that. He'll do that. Are you all in? Are you all in? And is your life and what you do a precious fragrance to God. Paul said, looking at these sons and daughters in the faith, you're a set-apart colony. You're a heavenly citizen. You are God's people on earth, bringing His kingdom on earth. And let's watch Him close as He finishes with this rich, full heart of love for these sons and daughters in the faith. Paul says, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Do you see the excitement of the apostle? His heart is so full for sons and daughters in Philippians, these sons and daughters in the faith, and they're alive in the Spirit, and they're running after God, and they're real, and they want God, and they're living for Jesus. He says, man, greet all the Christians for me while you're there. And then he says this, look at this, is cool. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of, say it with me, Caesar's household. The Apostle Paul has not gone on vacation while he's in prison. He's not only writing letters, he's leading jailers to Jesus right and left. He says, listen, especially those of Caesar's household, we're seeing revival take place right here. Because he lived for Jesus. Right there. Even in a bad situation. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. I want you to stand with me and read this last verse out of the message, because this one worked out really cool. Watch this. Please read it with me. Receive and experience the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ deep, deep within yourselves. Musicians, will you come? Read it one more time with me, please. Receive and experience the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, deep, deep within yourselves. Father, we thank you for this precious book written by a precious apostle, the Apostle Paul, who, Lord Jesus, established present truth for us in the New Testament to be able to see. Lord, engraft the Word of God richly into our hearts, that as we go quickly through the book of Philippians, we'll understand more than ever. Let your Word be written into our hearts and minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it cool? If you've been reading the daily Bible reading, you just read out of the book of Acts where the church at Philippi was established. We just read it in these last couple of days, the very book we've been talking about. So I urge you, if you've not given your life to the Lord, do it today. Come on up front. We'll be honored to pray for you. If you need prayer for healing, come on up front. We'll be honored to pray for you. All right? How many love the Lord this morning? So, the Lord says to you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you all. Be released in the presence of the Lord.